ask you to open the Bible to Acts chapter 2. You can scroll on your phone or your tablet as well. It's also going to be on the screen here in the house and also online this morning. But Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I want you to see what the Word of God has for us today. And it says, and they, say they. Who are they? They are Christians, early believers, the early church. And it says that they were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to and the prayers. And all came upon every soul. I love that. It's that when God shows up, they were in awe of what God was doing. Awe of every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. I love that. They were together. They weren't individuals. They were together. And had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. We get to give. Amen? We get to be a part of this. Praising God and having favor. God was showing them favor. God's hand was on them. God's presence was with them. With all the people. And I love this, church. When God shows up and shows favor and breathes on it, here's what happens. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen? Come on, give it up for the Lord's word. So good. I read that text and here's what I say to myself. I want to be a part of that. Amen. I want you to be a part of that. I want us to be a part of that. Did you know the same God that did that is the same God that's in this room right now? It's the same God that we serve right now is the same God that did that. The same God that had the desire to do that then is the same God that can do it today. I believe it. You believe it? I believe it. I want to preach a sermon today that I've entitled Going Deeper in My Community. Going deeper in my community. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I give you this moment. God, I don't have to give you this. This is your moment. I'm just sitting in it, God. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to steward this time. God, you're a better teacher, Jesus. You're the better shepherd. Jesus, this is your moment. God, would you use me today? Speak to this service, to these people in this moment. We know you're in the room. We don't take it lightly. We're in the presence of a holy God who's chosen to be in our presence, who's chosen to be with us this morning. God, thank you for that. Thank you for calling us. If we put our faith in you, sons and daughters of the King, Lord, you're not a distant God. You're a personal God, and you have a word for us today. So we believe it, God. Take us deeper and help us learn what it looks like to go deeper in our community. And if you believe it, all God's people say, amen, amen. Well, hey, I want to start this morning by putting a picture on the screen, and I want to show you. I don't know if anybody knows what these are. Anybody know what kind of tree this is? Yeah, cool. So these are a couple of it's great aspen trees. I love the aspen tree. In fact, you can't say aspen tree because aspen trees don't exist in any kind of singular form. Meaning is that you always find aspen trees in groves. There's an aspen tree grows. What looks like to be a forest of individual trees is actually one massive living organism that is very connected underground, get this, by one single root system. You could have hundreds and thousands of aspen trees, and they're all interconnected by one singular root. And while you might see that, hundreds and thousands of them, they're sharing nutrients with one another, giving life and strength to one another. In fact, the tallest trees in the grove are collecting sunlight and giving them to the smallest trees, and the smallest trees are taking nutrients from the ground and giving them to the largest trees. How many of you know that our God is a creator? The creator God is creative, amen? And I love that even in nature, you can see God's hand and how he has created us to be and how life works even in the aspen tree. One thing I love about the aspen tree grove is that even when there's a wildfire there and these groves are taken out from the top, the way that they're able to sprout new growths is because even though the tops are taken out, because they're still alive and they're giving nutrients to one another in need, what happens? They'll sprout new seedlings and they'll grow a whole new grove. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. So the strength of the grove, get this, church, isn't in one tree. The strength of the grove is that they are deeper in connection with one another. Wow. Amazing. As I think about this aspen tree and going deeper in my community, this picture reminds me of what biblical community looks like. Acts chapter 2, we see the early church had this deep commitment to being together, going deep in their community. They were sharing resources, meeting one another's needs, worshiping together. They were united. They were generous with one another. They were devoted to one another. In fact, there's over 50 one another's in the New Testament that were commanded to live out as the body of Christ, and we see these played out in the New Testament church. And I want to put back up verse 47 because I want to double click on this verse because I don't want you to meet it or miss it. I want you to see that when we're united and devoted to our community, devoted to one another, what God does, he shows favor on us and the Lord adds to our number. The passage paints a beautiful picture of what it looks like when God's people truly go deep in community. So I don't know about you, but when I read texts like Acts 2 and I think about community, I'm one of the guys that I'm trying to understand, it's amazing how God has shaped his church and how he works and how he's created us to be. But the question I have is why? Why did God create us to desire community? Why did he choose to create the church and the church live in community? Why did he do it the way he does it? So why did God choose to bless his people when they go deeper into community? Why is living in community devoted to one another so essential? And so what I want to do, I'm going to give you a couple defining statements. I want you to write this down. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, write this down. So you better write this down. I'm watching you right now. Okay, I can see you. The first two rows, at least. All right. We should go deeper in community because God is community. Can I get amen? God is community. Pastor Josh, why should we go deeper into community? Because God is community. Human beings around the world tend to cluster in communities. Sociologists tell us that whenever there's life, experiences, identity, affinity, people tend to cluster around those things. Beings cannot help themselves but live in some sort of communal community. It's at the very nature of who we are because it's at the very nature of who God is. We worship a God who is community, a God who is three in one. Father God, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it should not be a surprise that we are drawn to this community because God himself is community. In John 1:18, I love this because it shows how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, how they work together in unity. John 1:17, look what Jesus says. I'm sorry, 1:18. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, has made him Father known. Later on, Jesus teaching the Holy Spirit in John 16:14, look what it says. He, Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus. For he, Holy Spirit, will take what is mine, Jesus, and declare it to you. Then one chapter later in John 17, Jesus in his prayer says this, I glorify you, Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do, and now the Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I've had with you before the world existed. So what we see happening through this incredible triune, unifying relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is this incredible Trinitarian unity that's taking place where they're glorifying and supporting, if you will, loving in this perfect unity of community. It's a beautiful picture of how God exists. C.S. Lewis called this the dance. It's where God the Father is glorifying God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is elevating Jesus, and it's this dance that's happening. And it's why in Scripture God the Father says, he goes on, he says, let us make man in our image. He says, let us make, when he created man, let us make man in our image. Our image. Community. Who we are. How we exist. So God has invited humans into this eternal community where we know God the Father because of God the Son, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. I like to tell people, it's like, you're not the fourth part of the Trinity. So how do you get in on the Trinity? Because the Bible calls us the body of Christ. And it's because of Jesus' blood on the cross, God coming in flesh in Jesus and the blood of Jesus on the cross, we put our faith in Christ. We're ushered into the body of Christ, the family of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we experience this triune community that God exists in. Now, I gave you like a theological principle that could take like a whole semester to teach through. But I think it's important to understand the importance of why we have this tendency to need community. It's because God is community. Let me think of it like this. Back in Genesis, when God created the first male and female, Adam and Eve, the scripture tells us that in the garden, before sin entered the world, they were naked and unashamed. Now, I don't think this is a picture of that's specifically talking necessarily just about like being naked or nudity. What it's talking about is this complete freedom in the middle of being vulnerable. It's being able to be seen and known, to be vulnerable and be secure. It's why when Adam wakes up from his sleep and there is Eve, he looks at her and says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. There was no other living being that could see me and know me, but you know me in my vulnerability. And they walked with God in the cool of the day, and they were naked and unashamed. But we know the story that doesn't last very long, because they sin and they do what they should not do. They sin against God and do what he told them not to do. And when sin entered the world, that relationship, that security was broken, and enters into the world is shame, guilt, and hiding in our vulnerability. The desire to be known, but yet running from being known and giving into our shame and our guilt and afraid of actually being known. And this is what sin has done. But we know that as they, after they disobey God, God clothes them. And all throughout the Bible narrative, the redemptive story of Jesus is playing out all the way to today. And this is why there's a deep longing for connection, to be known. A deep longing to be known by others, to be known and to know God and to be known by God in righteousness and to be right before God, but to be known before others. But instead, we seem to find more transactional relationships, shallow relationships. Whenever we start to get more vulnerable, we run and we hide and we seek, because if someone actually knew me, they wouldn't receive me. And this is what sin has done. But you have a longing in you, because the God who created you is a God of community, to be known. Number two, look at your neighbor, say, write this down. God reveals himself through community. So God is community, but God also reveals himself through community. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 19. Look what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, so then, everybody say, so then. Now stop right there. Whenever you see the word so then in Scripture, you need to stop and read back to what the writer just said before you get to this part, because he's about to tell you why he just said what he said. Make sense? In fact, how many of you are one of those people, when you read a book, it's like you read one chapter and you forget what was in the last chapter? Anybody with me? Anybody? Come on. Struggler in the room? Come on. Right? In fact, I was just telling my wife recently, she's a speed reader. She can read like this, right? I'm like, the dog went to, forgot what I just read. So, squirrel. And so, anytime I see so then, I'm like, oh, I got to stop. Go back and say, what did he just say? So what did Paul just say before this part? What Paul was talking about is Paul has spent the first part of chapter 2 describing our former state of being spiritually dead because of our sin. But because of the grace and immense love of God, Jesus' followers have been made alive in Christ. Amen? Come on. Saved by grace not by works, but raised to honor, to be worthy because of Jesus' blood. And we put our faith in Jesus' sacrifice, not our own. Amen? And so because of that, Paul gives an explanation of that. And so he says, because of that, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are a member of the household, the family of God. Come on. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Don't miss that. A holy temple where he lives. In him. Everybody say, in him. In Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. When I read this text, I think people just pass by this idea of a dwelling place for God. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see God has always desired to dwell with his people. In the Garden of Eden, he walked with Adam and Eve. He talked to Abraham. He communed with Moses and the prophets. In the tabernacle, in the temple, he would go with the people of Israel. In Jesus, he physically, in flesh, walked among the peoples of the earth. Now, today, he dwells in us by his Spirit. Amen. So here's the big idea. Biblical community is where God's presence is most powerfully experienced. God is community, and God has chosen to dwell in community. It says he's building up a household in which he lives, a place in which he lives. That's why we use the word the house of God. We're not talking about a place. We're talking about a people. We're talking the household of God is the people of God built up. Each one of us are the bricks of the house, of the temple. And when we gather together, Jesus meets with us. It's the reason why we call our charge group facilitators, not leaders, because they ain't leading the group. Jesus leading the group. It's his house. It's his body. It's his people. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's leading the group. Amen? That's why we call it that. Strategic, like purposely, right? So it's the household of God, the people of God, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to experience God, his dwelling place. Edwin Cole says, God does not explain himself, but he reveals himself. And he reveals himself through his church, through his people. Community is essential. Listen to me, church. Community is essential to practicing your faith. In fact, I'm going to put something on the screen, and I'm just going to tell you right now, like, if you get mad, just, I'm serious, like, email Pastor Marvin or Pastor Mike, okay? They invited me, so get mad at them, okay? I'm going to stand on this fact. You will not grow deeper in your faith if you do not go deeper in community. I'm going to say it again, and I'll go to my grave saying it. You will not grow deeper in your faith if you do not go deeper in community. Do you know where Jesus lives? In community. You know where he does some of his greatest work? In community. I am absolutely convinced that the greatest and most spiritual, impactful experiences of my life did not happen in rows, but in circles in a living room. When the body of Christ gathered together, devoted to one another, sharing with one another, living life with one another, carrying each other's burdens, the greatest moments of the life were not some sermon I developed or some Bible study I developed. I'm telling you, it's when the Holy Spirit of God showed up and used the church to care for one another and build one another up. It's the greatest moments of my spiritual journey of knowing God. It's when I walk out of those places, out of those circles, and I realize God just showed up. God just showed up. God just moved. We're seeing miracles. I've seen miracles happen in the group, in the community. Many times as Americans, we don't get this because we are so individualistic. Our culture preaches it. You be you, I'll be me. The problem is the Bible, it teaches against that. It's not about you. It's about us. When you become a Christ follower, you're called into a body, into a community. Specifically, you've been called into this body, Walk Church. You're here. You're a part of it. God's put you here for a reason. And you have a purpose in the community. We need you. I need you. You need me. We see this in the New Testament. Everybody plays a part in this, and we were called to this community to build up this house to experience the presence of God together. In the early church, they knew this. And they go back to Acts 2 real quick. It says they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds as any had need. In the early church, they were left out of society. They were persecuted for their faith. They were poor people giving what they barely had themselves. And they were saying, "We are greater than me." It's a completely flipped on its head, different way of looking at the world and at life. You cannot approach the New Testament and read it as I. You have to approach the New Testament and read it as us. In fact, the entire New Testament was written to a body, not to an individual. All the Pauline epistles, the book of Colossians, Corinthians, Ephesians, were written to a church in a city, to a people. The problem is we read it like Americans. We read like me, 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 me. And God's saying, no, I'm going to take care of you, but I'm going to take care of you when you understand it's y'all. I'm from Tennessee. Hang out. Hang out. Come on. Come on. I'm preaching, Pastor Marvin. I'm preaching. Y'all. That's the New Testament. That's the New Testament Christian. And Acts 2, the church knew it. We must be committed to going deeper in our community because God is community. God reveals himself through community. We can't just check in and check out of church once a week. We are called to be deeply connected, not to an event, but to a people. The church is not just an organization. It's an organism. It's alive. It's breathing. It has stories. It has lives. It has real people, real names, real pains. And can I get an amen? Real miracles. Like real, like God making moves in community. People will say, well, I attended church. I tried church. Yeah, but you didn't invest in community. You didn't go in and see where God actually lives when the people of God gather together, share together, carry each other's burdens together. The church, the dwelling place of God, is alive. And I believe God's revealing himself deeper. Listen, I believe that God revealing himself deeper in community is the greatest apologetic of the day. I'll say it like this. When I moved west over a decade ago, left all of our family in Tennessee, and we've moved. We planted a church in Portland, Oregon. We planted here, or been here for 4 years, Portland, Oregon, Tennessee. So we've been like all these different cultures and cities. And most people, I always tell people, like, name another, I'm from the South, name another Southern family you know that's moved to multiple major cities in the West and not back home. And so we moved to all these different cultures, and people say, why not go back home? Like, why not go back to close to a family? And can I tell you why? My biggest, like, that drives me, number one, calling. Number two, I have this deep desire that my kids understand the church as an organism, that I'm afraid of putting them in a context where they just go to church. I want them to say, Mom and Dad, is the church coming over? You hear me? Not Dad and Mom are going to church. But no, Mom and Dad, hey, is the church coming over? Are we going to go be with the church? The people of God, where God dwells. Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make the known the great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery. Which he's saying, God chose to make known how great he is among the Gentiles. That's you. Great, the way God is making himself known to Las Vegas and the riches of his glorious mystery is how? Christ in y'all. That's a plural in the Greek. It's Christ in, you think, in you, me. No, y'all. The greatest apologetic of the day is when we live in the presence of God, serving one another, devoted to one another, carrying each other's burdens by the power of the Holy Spirit, meeting with the Holy Spirit, meeting with God, experiencing God. And the church looks at you and says, how in the world do you make it through hard times like you do? How in the world did that miracle happen? And you just smile and say, because God's making himself known, not through me, but us. It's in us together. How does that person get along with that person? Jesus? I'm going to make a statement. I have more in common with someone from China who's a Jesus follower today than I do an American who's not a Jesus follower. You're like, no way. I'll go to my grave saying it. You know why? Because we understand that without Jesus, we have more in common because we know who we are and who we're not. And without Jesus, we're nothing. But now we're called into this holy family of God. We have more in common than someone who grew up in my culture. That grew up in my culture because of who I'm now, not who I was. What I'm called into. I saw this quote from Pastor Rich Wilkerson. Well, let me say this. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Sorry. I got excited. Let me give you a couple of ways that you can do this. So if God is community and God dwells in community, then how do you take a next step to go deeper in your community? Can I give you a couple of just next steps? Number one is this. You have to run from isolation and seclusion. Isolation is dangerous. Spiritual isolation can leave us vulnerable in discouragement. This is a major spiritual strategy of the enemy. John 10:10 says the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. Isolation is a major tool of Satan to destroy your joy. Like a lion in the wild who always attacks the innocent, isolated animal, so is Satan looking for the one who will isolate himself to destroy you, to make you believe things about yourself and other people that is not true. He isolates you and speaks lies to you. But when you go deeper in your community, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to overcome those lies. But alone, you are nothing. But together, you have all the power to overcome him. Studies show us that in isolation negatively affects physical health, things like heart disease and depression. That's a proven fact. Why? Because you were created for community. Spiritual health, things like temptation and discouragement happen. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. Listen to me. You will never overcome that addiction by yourself. You have to be vulnerable and received and find grace. And that is where people in the church, listen, that is what people should experience in the church. You with me? Because we're all on common ground. Without Jesus, any of us will do the most vile thing. You with me? So we have to create spaces where the Holy Spirit of God helps us stay on equal ground, that I'm no better than you, that I need you, you need me. But it's in that community where Jesus is ahead and we're his body and we're experiencing him that people find freedom. And the world says, that is we have friendships and clubs and groups. We don't have anything like that. How many of you work out regularly? Anybody? A couple of you? Awesome. Me too. Just kidding. I have to tell you, just kidding, because you look at me and you're like, that guy's lying, totally lying. If you try to max, you're doing bench press, and you're trying to do like your max weight for the day, you'd be a fool to do that without something. You know what you need? A spotter. When life is too hard to carry you, when life is too hard for you to carry, you have to have a spotter to help you carry it. I wonder how many of us would continue to fall victim to depression, temptation, and lies if we had spotters. If we had a community, we didn't treat it like an event to go to, but a people that I belong to. I saw a quote from Pastor Rich Wilkerson. He said, in community, valleys are not so bad, and mountaintops are so much better. When life gets hard, people help you keep walking through the valley. You know, King David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say, though I camp in the shadow of death. He says, no, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You may tell you who keeps you walking? Your community. Keep walking, brother. Keep walking, sister. We're with you. We're going to walk with you. Keep walking. And then you make it to the promise. You make it to that moment where you feel like you're getting through the valley and you're kind of on the mountaintop. Can I just tell you, it's sweeter on the mountaintop when the people walked with you through the valley. When I think about people in our community at Walk Church who have refused to isolate and live in seclusion, I think about they were sitting in the first service, Marty and Jill Whitfield. Marty just experienced a terrible stroke last year. And when I went to his house after he had that stroke and I sat in his living room, I left there and I called my wife and I said, if God doesn't show up, I don't know what's going to happen to that family. And because God's people came around them and loved them, and they didn't pull away. They didn't say, man, we just got a lot going on. We're not going to do it. No, they like stepped into it. They stepped hard in the community. They asked for help. They depended on the body of Christ. They depended on the prayers of God's people. People would just go there and pray over them and minister to them. And that man was sitting in that seat this morning. I just talked to him after the first service, and I swear he's better than I saw him last year. The first, listen, before the stroke, better, healthier. You're like, no way. I'm telling you. I just talked to him. And I'm telling you, I told him, I said, you're even better than 2 weeks ago when I saw you. Amazing. I believe God showed him favor because of the community that God put around him. And through that community, helped him walk through that valley. It's really hard to walk through when you don't have community. In fact, what's going to happen? You're going to isolate. You say, I want Pastor Josh. Listen, we all want to. It's our sin nature. We'll want to pull away. I talked to a lady yesterday on the phone. She wanted to start a group. And she said, I don't even know. Like, I just feel like I need to do it. And she said, she started crying. She said, Pastor Josh, I need people. I need community. She's a widow, and she said, I need a community. I need people in my life. And she said, I've been putting it off for so long because I just feel like I could just do it myself. And she said, I realize I need community. And I said, sister, I want to encourage you. God designed you to live in community. You will not thrive without it. And I'm proud of you for stepping into community. So she's like, I don't know if I can find it. So I can't find it. I'm going to go create it. I'm going to start a group. Amen. She's going to do it. It's going to be amazing. God's going to show up. It's going to be incredible. So don't run. Run away from isolation and seclusion, but run to community. Run to community. Today, we're kicking off charge groups. When you leave here today, you're going to get some crumble cookie on the way out. There's going to be charge group facilitators there with charge group shirts on. And they're going to be handing you cards. We want you to join a group. You say, Pastor Josh, I don't know what type of group. Just join one. Just go be a part of one. Pick one. You're like, I don't see one then start one. Call me. My contact's out there, josh@waltchurch.com. I'll help you get someone started. The Spirit of God is giving you the power to do it. You can do it. Help people find community. You can do it. Because God exists in a community, and God works through community. As I end, I want to transition our time to a time of communion. Every month we take communion. It's a very important time in the life of our church. And I want to make sure that you understand that we don't want to take it lightly and just take it. Amen. Like an aspen tree grove, we're deeply connected and we're meant to strengthen one another. But ultimately, our connection as the body of Christ flows through our connection with Jesus. And this is what communion is all about. So as a response today, maybe it's you're going to join a group or start a group. But here's why I know what everybody's response is. If you're here this today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to take a moment to remember that we would not be a family without him. Amen. When Jesus gathered his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, before he was crucified, he was sharing a meal. Listen, he wasn't sharing a meal with his friends. He was ushering in this new type of community. This new type of family that would forever be bonded by his sacrifice on the cross, a community, a church, alive forever. And we were placed in that faith even today because of his blood that was shed on that cross on our behalf. In Luke 22, 19 through 20, it says, and he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, the cup is the new covenant, the new community, the new covenant, the new life that I've now given you, the new covenant. Every time you take this, do this in remembrance of me. So that today, if you're a Jesus follower, we want to welcome you to the table of God's household, the family of God. On the way out, or here in a second, when the band plays, you can go back to the table, grab one of the communion cups if you haven't got one yet. You're fine to move as soon as we start praying. And we want to ask you to just remember that if it wasn't for Jesus' body broken on the cross and his blood shed for you, all this would be for nothing. But because of what he's done, he's not only made us right before God, praise God, we put our faith in him, but he's called us to a family. where we belong forever. Amen? Where we can be known by him and others. And he's ushered it in by his body on the cross and his blood that was shed. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this body. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for how you, Lord, have spoken to us today. God, I pray that you give us all by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to take the next step. Lord, I thank you for this, the body that was broken. When we take the wafer, God, we're reminded of the body that you took the death that we deserved. And the blood that was shed for us should have been us, God, but our blood was not perfect. You were perfect blood. And we needed, and Father God needed a perfect lamb, a sin sacrifice. And your perfect blood was shed for my imperfections. And you made me perfect before a holy God and called me to a family that you look on as royalty, your household where you dwell. So God, thank you for that. We do not take it lightly. We remember you during this time. In Jesus' name I pray.